Welcome back to Smith Sabatino, Roland Smith, along with my good friend Carl Sabatino. And we're talking about a lot of different things on today's broadcast, but once in a while on these broadcasts, I like to bring in what I call some poetry or some fun stuff, rhyme, limericks, etc. And now I have a limerick for you today, Carl. You're a baseball fan, are you not?
Say what? Yes.
Do you want to care to tell us what team?
New York Yankees.
Oh, okay. What about the Red Sox?
Great franchise.
Okay.
Great franchise.
I have a limerick here entitled The Bambino Curse.
Oh.
There once lived a team called Red Sox. For decades, their hopes on the rocks. The Babe gave a curse and time made it worse, so winning a series, the block. Then came the great playoffs, 04. Like Mudville, they stayed on the floor. The Yankees won 3. It looked so easy, but Boston then evened the score. Then finally the 7th big game, when losing would be so insane. But win it they did. The Yankees then hid with faces long hanging with shame. To the series the Sox did go, wondering if the curse would show. Game 1 was then won. The Cardinals undone. With home runs the Sox would bestow. The other 3 games were supreme. The Red Sox played great as a team. They won in 4 straight. To thus punctuate the curse of Bambino, a dream.
Wonderful. I love it. I met a man from St. Paul who had a terrible fall. I'm not going to do that limerick.
I'm glad. And there's some other ones I'm glad you're not going to do also.
But I want to say one thing. I want to get one quote that I found in my notes from Leo Boscaglia, who I have great reverence for, passed away some years ago. And he noted an author of Common Sense. You and I have talked about that.
Oh, he's a great common sense person. You know, I had the pleasure of introducing him.
Did you
him
really?
Once,
my aunt wanted to meet him.
I used to host the John Denver WinStar Symposium.
Yes.
out in Aspen, Colorado.
Yes.
And Leo Boscaglia was one of the main speakers
one year.
Wonderful. And he was terrific. He had that audience like just crying.
In the prominent,
they were wonderful.
Yes. Well, on that note, he noted, life is a great and wondrous mystery. And the only thing we know that we have to do and should do for sure is what is right here and now. Don't miss it. I love it. In other words, it's in the here and the now. It's in the moment and live it. Most people don't, by the way. You do know that.
Oh.
Most people don't. They don't.
They don't what?
They don't live in the moment. Oh. I want to add a quick note that I know you have some thoughts you want to run past us. Did you know that here in the United States, the Chinese and the Indians have noted in a recent conference that they expect to be the leaders of the world in 2025?
Right.
And an economist stood up and said in a blunt statement, it'd be well to note that if the India wants to lead the world in 2025, they might want to find bathrooms for their 500 million people that have no toilets in that country. And the Chinese might be well to remember that they can't live off the backs. 15 million people cannot live off the backs of the other 1.2 billion because there are only 15 million people that are in the Communist Party that are sharing most of the wealth around the country. And it's a point that I want to make because I think it's an important point. We don't understand the extraordinary benefits we have in this country. And most people miss that point. We have running toilets in this country. At least 90%, 95% of us do. We live in a country where, for all of its faults, this system that we're on called news and media is a free system. Okay? And we can practice our religion as it is. We live in a great country, and we forget that point, and we forget it often in this country.
Well, there aren't too many of us alive today that can remember as children, because I'm a little older than you, but you're in the ballpark.
I'm there. I'm close.
That I remember outhouses.
Oh, yes.
And I remember using outhouses as a kid.
Absolutely.
And thinking nothing of it in those days.
We had the shared bathroom on the fifth floor in Greenwich Village. There was a shared bathroom for 4-5 apartments. That was fun. Try that. It's interesting.
No, never. I was thinking more or less of visiting my uncles, who a couple of them were farmers, and they had outhouses, and that
yes.
was it.
But it was under a system that was going to get better. One of the remarkable things about this country, now I'm touting the flag again, here I go. This system was always going to get better, and it always did. And that system has gotten better. I'm wondering if the rest of the world will someday catch up to that system. Because it's a simple fact of life that the benefits that we share in this country are not shared throughout the rest of the world. And that is true. And yes, I've traveled, as you have, the rest of the world.
Yes, indeed. I've never been to India, but I have friends who just got back from there and said that the cultures were very, very different.
Very different.
And, you know, there's a I don't know what you call it, not a mystique, but there's a method of queuing up for things in India that allows people to be rude, at least from my perspective.
Yes.
Or for other people's. They'll push, they'll shove to get up to the front of the line. It's no courtesy. I didn't see the what we call common courtesy here in the States. I didn't see a lot of that in some countries I've been to. And I have to preface saying I've never been to India. So.
I've been to India. I was working with a mission that was attached to Mother Teresa's mission. Okay, in Calcutta and so on. It was a fascinating experience. And I will tell you this. The untouchables are truly untouchable there. It is a caste system. And to me, everyone is treated the same way. There, it is unusual if they treat the lower class the same way or the caste system. They are not even allowed to. And I find that extraordinary. We don't understand that in this country. We're getting there. We're getting over the difficulties we've gone through with segregation and all of the rest from the Civil War on up. And it's been a difficult struggle for us, without question, okay? And we're still working on it. But we have a black president, and it is changing. That system is changing. We're accepting people, homosexuals and others. The world is opening up. We're once again leading the way. Was it Patrick Henry who noted in his write-up at the Continental Congress that we can make changes to the entire world will follow? Back in January of 1975, before the first Continental Congress.
1775.
Right. Sorry. And he noted, we're making changes the rest of the world will someday follow. Well, are they following? I hope so.
Right. Well, you had mentioned, and I'd like to take you back to your original thought, you had mentioned Mother Teresa.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to meet her at one time at a conference at Oxford College in England. And we were introduced by a Monsignor from Argentina, and he told her a little bit of my background, and she said, "Ah, Mr. Smith, let us go for a walk."
Uh-oh.
And she put her arm in my arm, and she literally dragged me around the quadrangle at Oxford College, Christchurch College
at Oxford campus.
And she said, "It's very important that you know and remember at all times how important your job is." She said, "I'm going to give you my personal phone number in Calcutta. I'd like you to call me once a month at 5 a.m. in my time in the morning so I can remind you of your responsibility." And I said, "Mother," I said, "I do know how important it is." She says, "No, but you need to be constantly reminded. All of you need to be constantly reminded how important your media job is to the world." And I would call her, and the stipulation was, I said, "Now, Mother, if I call you and we talk, may I tape it and may I put it on the air?" And she said, "Oh, of course." And we did. I did that for several months.
Wonderful.
And it became a running feature.
Do you still have those tapes?
I do not. And, you know, you lose things in moving
that
sort of stuff.
Oh, gosh. The moves we make in life, everything gets lost.
But truly a great experience. And when you get in the presence of somebody like a Mother Teresa or a great man. I mean, Emerson wrote this wonderful essay called The Uses of Great Men.
Of great men,
and
yes.
And it just, I mean, it's so true. When you're in their presence, you feel greater yourself.
We have another one, and hopefully you and I will have a chance to meet, and that is Pope Francis. And I am looking forward to that meeting. I quite truly am, because I think this is... a great man in the making.
Why do you think that he is exceptional?
Because he understands, and his quote on the plane, that magnificent interview that he said, "Who am I to judge?" OK, Okay. And when he said, "Who am I to judge?" There in the symbol is the humble man. Who am I to judge other people? Okay. We as Catholics, who am I to judge? I think it's remarkable that he said it. Or as Christians. But we could be Christians, Jews, Muslims. It doesn't matter. Okay. All religions. Who am I to judge humanity? When he was speaking of homosexuals.
What's interesting is that, I mean, there are many wonderful religions throughout the world.
Absolutely.
And there's only one great deity. Whatever name you want to give that deity doesn't matter. It is the presence and the understanding and the gift of love, unconditional love from that presence that's available to all of us.
I could not say it any better. And with that note, Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. Let's move on. This is Smith Sabatino, heard on the Envision Radio Network. We're back. Please stay with us.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, are you afraid of the dark? Well, I bet you are, because it's a common fear. But there's something magic about the dark, and you can use it to your advantage. Here's the science of it. When it's dark, both pleasure and pain sensations are heightened. First off, when you give someone a present, ask them to close their eyes. Waiting for the present in the dark increases the pleasure. And romantic evenings are far superior with candlelight. But experience pain in the dark, and the pain is more intense. All House of Horrors require the dark, so the pain will be more intense. So going to the dentist, wear the goggles, but keep your eyes wide open. Reading a scary book, turn on all the lights, and the scare won't be as intense. What's a cheap psych trick? Darkness can work for you or against you. The choice is absolutely yours. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This 10-time All-Star and Olympic gold medal winner racked up 690 goals and 1,033 assists in his legendary career. He's the only person to win a Stanley Cup both as a player and an owner.
Full 2 minutes. Score! Mario Lemieux, the perfect trick!
So where is Mario Lemieux now? Mario was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame after his first retirement in 1997 and is only the third player to resume a career after induction. He won his third cup in 2009, which was his first as owner of the Penguins. Mario received the Order of Canada in 2010, and the Penguins honored him with a statue in 2012. Mario Lemieux, Penguin for life. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.